This is Audible.
Weightless. Written by Candy Steiner. Narrated by Marie Mitchell. Prologue. I remember the lights. I remember I wanted to photograph them, the way the red and blue splashed across his cold, emotionless face. But I knew even if my feet could move from the place where they had cemented themselves to the ground and I could run for my camera, I wouldn't be able to capture that moment. There was no shutter speed, no lens, no lighting technique that could properly encapsulate everything I felt as I stared into his eyes. I had trusted him. I had loved him, and even though my body had changed that summer, he'd made sure to help me hold on to who I was inside, regardless of how the exterior altered. But then everything changed. He stole my innocence. He scarred my heart. He took everything I thought I knew about my life and fast-pitched it out the window, shattering the glass that held my world together in the process. I remember the lights. The passionate, desperate, hot strikes of red. The harsh, cruel, icy bolts of blue. They symbolized everything I endured that summer, and everything I would never face again. Chapter 1. My mom and stepdad thought I couldn't hear them mumbling in the kitchen about my well-being over the volume of the 5th consecutive episode of Lost I was watching, but I could hear every word. So I sighed heavily and turned the volume up when they approached the couch. I was still in my pajamas, and I knew I should have at least changed into shorts and a t-shirt, so they thought I got up and lived a little that day. The truth was, I hadn't done a damn thing, other than watch that utterly confusing show anyway. But I lost the ability to care after my second little Debbie snack. "Love this show," Dale said, sitting casually on the arm of our dark brown leather sectional. I pulled my legs up to my chest so Mom could sit down next to him. Hated the ending, but still. "No spoilers, Dale!" He threw his hands up in mock surrender. "I'm just saying you're going to wish you didn't waste the hours." Mom appraised my sweatpants, her eyes lingering a little longer when she spied the frayed edges where I'd dragged them on the ground. Jillian Poxton didn't do sweatpants, and she didn't think any other woman or girl should either. Her choice was always a dress or a neatly pressed skirt paired with the perfectly complimentary top. Even then, on a Sunday afternoon, hours after church had ended, she sat with her hands in her lap and her ankles crossed in a bright, summery blue dress that cinched her tiny waist and flowed down to her knees. "Sweetheart." She sighed the word, her hand reaching to gently squeeze my leg. "Mom, please." I leaned up and away from her touch, keeping my eyes fixed on the television. "Don't." "Honey, don't you think it's time to get out of this house? I let you stay home all week, but today was the second time you missed church, and you know how people talk." I chewed my lip because, as much as I wanted to argue, she was right. People did talk in Poxton Beach, South Carolina. The fact that my stepdad, Dale Poxton, owned pretty much everything in the small tourist map blip didn't help my case much either. His ancestors founded the cozy beach town, and, surprisingly, the family never did pull up roots and venture out. Dale had lived there his entire life, and he knew he would die there, his grave filing in right next to his parents. Still, I hated how stern Mom was being with me. Given the circumstances, I didn't think it was that big of a deal to wallow in self-pity and zebra cakes for a while longer. But apparently Mom had reached her limit. She may have been my mom, but she was also Dale Poxton's wife, which meant she had eyes on her, too. Questions. Still, I wasn't ready to face the music of my new reality. I had graduated high school just a week prior, and on that same night, my boyfriend of 2 years had broken my heart. "Exactly. I do know how this town talks, which is why I'm not keen on leaving the couch at the moment," I challenged, trying again to end the conversation by raising the volume on the TV. "Now listen, Natalie." Dale chimed in, grabbing the remote from where I'd just dropped next to me. He pressed the pause button and I sighed heavily. "Your mom and I understand what you're going through. We do. Believe it or not, we were young and in love once, too. But you can't waste your summer lying around and..." He trailed off, but his eyes fell to the mess of processed food wrappers gathering on the mahogany coffee table. "Eating my feelings?" He exchanged a worried glance with Mom, and I wanted to crawl under the couch cushions and die. I hated being looked at. I hated being judged. And I felt both happening from the two people I trusted and loved most. I was thicker than most girls my age. Hell, most girls, period. I had love handles that hung over my jeans and arms twice the size of my best friend Willow's. My cheeks were chubby. There wasn't a single space my thighs didn't touch when I stood ankles together, and I couldn't remember a time I'd bought anything smaller than a large when I went shopping with my friends. I had always been the big girl, and up until that point, I had never really thought to feel ashamed about it. It was only the Friday before, at my graduation party, that I realized how insecure I had always felt, but never admitted. I didn't come to that realization softly. No, I was hurled into it like a high-speed train. Because Mason didn't just break up with me that night, not for the reason he gave me. He said we were growing apart, that he had plans and I didn't, that he needed to start thinking about his future. But when he started dating a petite little brunette not even a full 2 days later, I knew the real reason he let me go. I didn't even know who she was, but I saw a photo of them on social media, and that was enough for me. She was skinny. She was gorgeous. She was everything I wasn't. "Can I have a minute with her, Dale?" Mom asked, like I wasn't still in the room with them, or like I was 12 and not 18. He nodded, smiling and ruffling my hair before excusing himself. Again, I felt the need to shove my diploma in their face and remind them of my age. Once he was gone, Mom turned back to me. "Do you want him back?" I blanched. "What?" "You heard me. Do you want him back?" "I don't really think that's an option, Mom," I mumbled, picking at the already chipping gold nail polish on my thumbnail. I wanted to peel every last inch of that high school off of me forever, including the green and gold colors I had sported so spiritually every year of my life. I paused, crossing my arms tight over my chest. "He's not available anymore." Her face softened and she moved closer to me, reaching out to place a hand on my leg again. I didn't pull away this time. "Oh, sweetie, you give up too easily. If you want him, fight for him." I shook my head. "It's not that easy, Mom. This isn't a rom-com." "I'm serious," she said, lowering her head and forcing me to meet her bright blue eyes. They were so different from my own chocolate ones. I assumed I had my father's eyes, though I couldn't be sure. He was around for a total of 10 months of my life, and I'd never seen so much as a picture of him. Not that I ever asked to see one. Dale was the only father I needed as far as I was concerned. "You know what the best revenge is after a breakup, right?" I lifted a brow, clearly not versed in the subject. At all. Mason was the only boyfriend I had ever had. I was going through my first breakup, my first heartache, and all I knew was that it hurt like hell, and eating on the couch seemed like a perfectly fine way to spend my summer. Especially the summer after I graduated high school. Maybe. If I could decide what I wanted to do with my life, that is. Or maybe I'd still be right here, on this couch, eating oatmeal cream pies. Mom stood, pulling me up with her to give me the answer to her question. "Looking drop-dead gorgeous the next time he sees you. And if you can score some man candy to tote you around, that helps too." She winked and I scoffed. "Yeah, well, I don't think that plan is going to work in my case," I pointed out, gesturing to my body with an open hand. Sure, I had long, thick, dark blonde hair and skin that easily tanned in the southern sun, but I was a size 14, and everyone in my circle of friends, including Mason's new thing, was a size 4 or smaller. It wasn't that I was ever really confident, but before graduation, I hadn't really thought that much about my size. At least, not enough to care. Whether because of Dale's money or stature, I had always been part of the in crowd, and I never had to try to be anyone I didn't want to be. I was shy, quiet, but fun once I opened up. At least, that's what I like to think. "Well, I have an idea that might change your mind, but you have to promise me you'll hear me out before you say yes or no." I crossed my arms again. "This doesn't sound good." "Just listen," she insisted, holding out her hands. I was already skeptical, given that my mom's ideas usually involved retail therapy or traveling. I wasn't in the mood to deal with either at the moment. "There's this personal trainer at the country club. He's completely transformed at least a dozen of the women members. I swear the guy has a gift. And I know if you would give him a chance, he would help you look and feel amazing. A trainer? Really, Mom? I shook my head, turning toward my bedroom. I was doing my best to seem annoyed, but in reality, it stung a little hearing my mom essentially say that I needed to hit the gym. Not happening. Just try it, she pleaded from behind me. Just for a week or two. If you hate it, you can quit. Maybe I like being fat, I threw behind me, still stomping toward my room. Ever think of that? I knew I was being dramatic, but I was clinging to my adolescence and using it as an excuse to act as desperate as I felt. At least promise me you'll think about it, Natalie, she sighed, pleading again. You're not fat, and you know I don't think that. I'm just trying to help you look and feel your best. I paused at the bottom of the staircase, looking back at my beautiful mother. Shiny blonde hair, thin frame, high cheekbones. She had always been gorgeous. It had always been easy for her. And maybe part of me resented her for it. Maybe I was jealous. Maybe I was in denial, thinking my weight didn't matter. Maybe I was just deathly afraid that I'd fail. Regardless, I nodded, promising to think about it, but I knew I would never set foot in the gym at the Poxton Beach Country Club. Mom seemed satisfied with my promise. She smiled and clasped her hands in front of her again. Mason is a great kid. He's from a good family, and he's going places. Don't give up on him so easily. I didn't get the chance to respond because Willow bounded through the front door, pulling a glittery purple suitcase behind her. All right, where is she? I groaned, my right hand hitting my forehead with a slap before I dragged it down over my face. Mom chuckled. Willow and I had been best friends since kindergarten, and she was the kind of friend who took charge. This was the first breakup I experienced in our 13 years of friendship, and she jumped into action as soon as it happened. If I couldn't get my parents off my back about binge-eating my summer away, there was no way I could escape Willow. Her deep brown eyes found me on the foot of the staircase, and she smiled, white teeth bright against her dark skin. There you are. Okay, here's the deal. She yanked her suitcase up the first stair when she reached me and kept heaving it up, talking through labored breaths. We're going to get you all dressed up. Another stair. I'm going to do your hair and makeup. She exhaled, still tugging. We're going to go out to the haystacks tonight, and you're going to show Mason what he's missing. That sounds like a really terrible idea, I assessed, leaning back on the stair railing and watching her struggle. It was comical, really, her slim frame lugging a glittery piece of luggage at least twice her size. What do you have in there, anyway? Just the essentials. Now come on, you need to find your cutest pair of boots. I scrunched my nose, but Mom placed a dainty hand on my shoulder, reassuring. She's right, honey. Just get all prettied up and go have some fun. Being around Mason sounds far from fun. Willow and Mom both sighed together, which made me chuckle and throw up my hands. Ugh, fine. But if tonight sucks, I get to spend my entire Sunday on that couch with Josh Holloway. I pointed my finger up at Willow first before turning back to my mom. Deal? Deal, Willow answered quickly from the top of the stairs, bending down to grip her knees and catch her breath. I cocked a brow at Mom, who was chewing her lip, but finally she nodded. Okay, tonight will be great, so I won't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I drug myself up the stairs unwillingly and followed Willow back to my bedroom. She already had the suitcase open on my bed with everything inside of it sprawled out on the white and gray comforter. I fell face first on the puffy goose down comforter and sighed, letting my hot breath warm the cool fabric. You have 10 minutes to mope before I start curling your hair, Willow said, popping into my bathroom to plug in her iron. She brought a small makeup mirror, too, which was smart because she knew I didn't have any in my room or bathroom. I never was a fan of mirrors. I didn't particularly like to stare at myself, especially since I could look down at my body and see quite enough. Willow sat down next to me, braiding her hair over her shoulder before placing a hand on mine. Talk to me. I sighed again. Mom is disappointed I lost Mason. As much as it stung, it made sense. After all, his family was one of the most well-off in Poxton Beach, other than ours. He was heading to college in a couple of months to take the same path to being a lawyer as his father did. And after graduation, he'd be right back here in Poxton Beach until the day he died. To my mom, That sounded like the ideal situation for my future marriage. But I didn't care about any of that. What I did care about was that Mason would no longer be kissing me. He wouldn't be holding my hand as we walked the beach with our friends. He wouldn't brush my hair from behind my ear or wrestle me for the remote on a Friday movie night at my place. I may not have agreed with my mom about why I should be with Mason, but we did both feel the same. I wasn't the same without him. That much I could tell in just the week it had been since he broke up with me. For the first time, I was trying to figure out who I was as a solo entity, as Natalie Poxon without Mason Carter as my boyfriend. And I was failing. "She's not disappointed, Natalie. She's sad for you. We all are. Which is why I'm going to get you super dressed up and take you out to show him what he's giving up." "I think he knows." She sighed. "Do you really not want to go?" Chewing my lip, I thought hard about her question. Did I want to see Mason? Of course. Still, my stomach felt like it was being squeezed by Hulk fists any time I thought about it. Because if I saw him, I would want him. And for the first time in 2 years, he wasn't mine. But I couldn't spend my whole summer mourning him, even if that was the easy thing to do. I'd have to face him sometime, and maybe he would see me and realize he'd made a mistake. "You have any magic makeup in there to make me look better than his new girlfriend?" Willow grinned, waving her hand at me. "Oh, please, like anyone can out-makeup me." She winked and grabbed my hands, pulling me up off the bed and into the bathroom. I stared at the photographs I'd taken on our family vacation to Hawaii a few years ago as she prepped everything on the counter. The images of straw huts and fires on the dark beach always soothed me. Photography was my passion. It had been for longer than I could remember. I was the lead photographer for the yearbook all through high school, and I had more digital files of my friends in hometown on my computer than I had hard drive space to store it. It was the one and only thing that made me feel comfortable and safe. Other than Mason, who I didn't have anymore. "Can I take my camera tonight?" Willow dabbed foundation below my eyes. "If you want to. You have about 1 million photos of us all out of the haystacks, though." "I know, it just makes me feel better to have it with me." She chuckled. "You're kinda weird, Nat, but I love you anyway." "I love you too. Thanks for this," I said, gesturing to her spread. "I know you guys are right. I'm scared, but I know I can't hide forever." Willow smiled, outlining my eyebrows with a light pencil. "Don't worry, everything is going to be fine." I tried to return her smile, but it fell flat, and I settled my vision on a photo of Mauna Loa instead. That was the first moment where I felt the shift. There was something about that summer that would change me. It was already the beginning, and a part of me knew it. It was like I was walking in the dark toward a distant light, but I couldn't drag my feet fast enough to figure out what it was. I could only think about one thing at a time. And that night, it was about being in the same place with the boy who had broken my heart just 1 week prior. I wanted to be prepared. I wanted to be confident. I wanted to be okay. But the truth of the matter was that I just wasn't. I was far from okay. 2 hours later, I wiped my sweaty palms on the harsh fabric of my jeans as Willow and I weaved through the weekend crowd to Haystacks. Crowds were never my thing, but I felt particularly uneasy that night, and Willow sensed it. She held her arm out, and I looped mine through hers, clinging to her like a lifeline the closer we got to the bars. The crawl was a small strip of clubs, bars, and restaurants near the Poxton Beach boardwalk, and pretty much the only place to go out within a 30-mile radius. It was always crawling with tourists, but there were locals in the heavy crowds, too. Poxton Beach was the second-best tourist spot in South Carolina, right behind Myrtle Beach. And the crawl was just about the only adult entertainment in the town. Everything else was very family-focused, just the way Dale's ancestors wanted it. Even though I had just turned 18 in November, I had been to the crawl more times than I could count. Haystacks and a few other bars were 18 and up, which made them favorite spots for my group of friends on the weekends. When we weren't at the crawl, we were throwing house parties or bonfires on the beach. Still, on that night, my stomach lurched when the neon sign for Haystacks came into view. It was the only country bar at the crawl, and though I loved country music, I was the exact opposite of excited to be there. I knew Mason would be inside, probably at the same bar he had kissed me at the night after homecoming, and I had a pretty good hunch he wouldn't be alone. Willow tried to soothe me with her never-ending flow of wise words and clichés, but nothing she could say could make me want my couch any less. "If you don't loosen your grip, I'm not going to have an arm left for them to slap a wristband on," Willow said as we reached the doors. The twanging music was spilling out onto the strip, and I swore I heard Mason laugh through the noise. "Sorry," I murmured, removing my hand from her arm and stretching out my fingers as she rubbed the spot I'd been holding fast to. My nervous hands reached for my camera next, and once they found their comfortable placement on either side of the sleek, black object, I immediately felt a subtle calm wash over me. I idly ran my thumbs up and down the cool metal. "I don't think I can do this, Lo. Everyone is going to judge me." "Try being one of only 3 black girls in the town, Nat. Trust me, you'll get used to it." She winked and I shook my head, smiling a little. She was exaggerating, of course, but not by much. Poxton Beach definitely wasn't known for its diversity, and Willow stood out both with her skin color and her personality. She was confident, smart as hell, and usually the life of the party. So basically, she was my polar opposite. Still, I trusted her more than anyone. I questioned a lot of my friendships in Poxton Beach, but never hers. She liked me before we were old enough to realize money meant something in the world. It wasn't that I thought my friendships were fake, but after graduation and the lack of phone calls from friends to see if I was okay, I wondered if all the people who claimed my friendship actually wanted it. Maybe they just wanted the privilege that went along with it. If only they knew everything that went along with it. The Poxton name was splattered all over that town, on everything from the local pharmacy to the bank and everything in between. I couldn't even walk into a convenience store to get a pack of gum without everyone knowing who I was. There were eyes on me at all times, and that was more pressure than I knew how to handle most of the time. I wasn't born a Poxton. I was married into it. And sometimes I felt like I let Dale down. Like right now, when I couldn't even handle a stupid breakup. When I started chewing my lip and clicking the shutter buttons on my camera, Willow realized how shaken I was. She inhaled a deep breath and pulled me to the side of the building, away from the crowd waiting to get in. "Listen to me, Natalie," she said, her hands finding my shoulders as she leveled her eyes with mine. "Mason made a huge mistake letting you go, and I know he'll recognize that someday. I'm not going to lie to you and say it'll be tonight, because it probably won't be. If I had to bet money, I'd say he's going to have that new brunette Barbie hanging around his arm, and he'll likely pretend like you don't exist or like nothing happened between you two at all, and everything is normal. Either way, don't let him get to you. Hold your chin high, walk in that bar like you haven't been fazed at all. Take illegal shots out of this flask with your best friend, and dance until those cute red boots of yours shred to pieces." Willow smiled, holding up her favorite sleek black flask, her bright white teeth glowing against her dark skin in the neon light of the bars. Her long hair was still braided to one side, elongating her face even more than usual, and reminding me how flawless my best friend was. I put her in the same category as my mother, effortlessly beautiful. "I'm just scared, Willow. He was my best friend. He was my everything." Saying the words out loud made my chest sting. Willow threw her arm around my shoulder, steering me back toward the haystacks. "I know, babe, and maybe that's part of the issue, you know? If you give your all to someone else, realize you may one day have to change all you know about yourself." I nudged her playfully. "You and your words of wisdom." She shrugged. "What can I say? It's a gift. Now, put your happy face on and let's do this. And please don't hide behind that lens all night," she added, eyeing my camera. I sighed, looking around at the crowd gathered like someone out there would have the mental strength I needed, and I'd be able to steal it from them with one glance. We walked straight up to the bouncer, ignoring the small line that had formed. He smiled at us and tipped his hat to Willow as he moved to the side to let us in, my hand still holding fast to the camera around my neck. I heard a few groans from the out-of-towners, but the locals didn't even bat an eye. I was Natalie Poxton, and that meant I didn't have to wait. If only I were as powerful on the inside as the name I'd been given. I let out a long breath as my hands tightened their grip around my camera. I felt safer with it hanging around my neck, and my fingers played with the flash, clicking it up and back down again as we made our way back to the bar where our friends would no doubt be gathered. I spotted Mason immediately. I half hoped he wouldn't show, but he did. And as soon as my eyes found him and witnessed his signature full-faced smile break across his face, I almost fell to my knees. He looked more handsome than usual, if that was even possible, and it absolutely killed me. I pulled my bottom lip between my teeth out of habit and followed Willow a little closer.
"Low!"
Stephanie shouted over the music, throwing her arms around Willow's neck when we reached the group.
"Okay, it's official. The party can start now." "I have arrived!" Willow yelled in response, and the group laughed.
I felt hot eyes burning holes through me as I gripped my camera even tighter and waited for the first person to speak to me. I tried to hold my head high like Willow said, but I was pretty sure I was failing miserably.
"Nice to see you, Natalie," Dustin said first, offering a kind smile.
Dustin was Mason's best friend, and from what he had said to me after the breakup the week before, he didn't exactly agree with Mason's choice. I smiled back at him and dropped my hands from my camera, trying to relax.
"You too, Dustin."
I'd chewed off all the lip balm I'd put on the car ride over, so I retrieved a small tube from my purse and reapplied, using the old habit to calm my nerves as Dustin continued smiling at me. Dustin and Mason were practically twins, though Mason's features were perfectly symmetrical, giving him just a small edge up on Dustin. They both had shaggy brown hair and matching chocolate eyes. While Mason was always tanned from working on his parents' land, Dustin's skin was light and dotted with tiny freckles. And though Mason was tall with broad shoulders, Dustin was at least 6 inches taller, his frame lanky in comparison. I tucked my lip balm back into my purse just as my eyes moved to Mason, who was officially staring at me along with everyone else.
"Hey, Mace."
He paused for a moment like he wasn't sure what to say to me, and it made my stomach twist into an awful knot. I swallowed, but kept my posture as calm as I could, hearing Willow's words in my mind. All I wanted was for him to wrap me in his arms and tell me it was all a joke. But I knew that wasn't going to happen, so I needed to at least pretend to be okay. That town loved to gossip, and I didn't want poor, dumped Natalie Poxton to be the next subject of focus.
"Hey, Nat."
He paused again and lowered his voice a bit, moving a little closer.
"You okay?"
His words made my stomach twist more, but Willow's eyes narrowing behind him reminded me that I needed to seem in control, even if I was far from it. I shrugged. Why wouldn't I be? There were a few raised brows and whispers after that remark, and Willow gave me a subtle thumbs-up sign, but I felt awful. I never lied to Mason, and I knew he could see I was bluffing, but he didn't call me on it. He just smiled, nodded, and turned back to Dustin. It was like his attention was tied to everyone else's, because as soon as he and Dustin started talking about baseball, everyone else went back to their conversations, too. Stephanie grabbed my hand and hauled me to the bathroom with her and Willow.
"Let's drink!"
She bounced a little, her smile bright as she tugged us through the crowd. Stephanie was by far the prettiest girl in our class, though Willow closely rivaled her. Both of them were tall and lean, but Stephanie had perfect, long, auburn hair that twisted into beautiful curls effortlessly. Her smile revealed dimples that drove every boy insane. She was always nice to me, but we never hung out unless Willow was involved. In fact, Willow and Mason were the only two people I ever hung out with outside of our group outings. After Mason dumped me, I was down to one. Stephanie and Willow took shots out of their flasks in the handicapped stall we all crammed into, but I waved my hand when they offered them to me. I probably could have used the alcohol to calm my nerves, but I was more afraid of breaking down under the haze, so I opted for water when we got back to the bar instead. Sipping on my water allowed me to relax a little, and the more everyone else drank, the better I felt. For some reason, buzzed eyes were easier for me to stand than sober ones. We were leaned up against the back edge of the bar, still in the same group as Mason and Dustin, but with enough space between us to hold separate conversations. Willow and Stephanie were chatting about their dorm room assignments at Appalachian State while I pretended to listen. As far as I was concerned, that college was essentially high school number two. Besides, Mason's girlfriend had just walked in, and I was far more interested in torturing myself by watching them together. She had just strutted in and thrown herself into his arms as everyone around them smiled. He wrapped his arms all the way around her and pulled her tight into him, kissing her lips like he'd kissed mine a week before. And I couldn't help but realize that he could never wrap his arms that far around me.
"What about you, Nat?" Stephanie asked, stealing another sip from her flask before pouring half of it into the soda she'd just ordered. "Where are you rooming? I'm surprised you and Willow aren't together."
I shrugged, tilting my plastic cup until an ice cube slid between my teeth. I crunched on it loudly with my eyes still on Mason.
"I haven't decided if I'm going to Appalachian State yet."
Stephanie blanched and Willow's mouth pulled to the side. She already knew I was still debating my options, but to Stephanie and everyone else in this room, it was practically a sin not to go to Appalachian State. It was where everyone in Poxton Beach went. We stuck together, as Dale liked to put it, and most of us would end up right back in that town. Again, high school number two. But me? I hadn't made a single move toward college other than to take the standardized testing.
"What do you mean, like, not this semester?"
Stephanie was twirling the small black straw in her drink furiously as she waited for my response. Embarrassment shaded my cheeks, though I wasn't sure if it was from her judgmental questions or from Mason's eyes catching me briefly before I flicked them back to Stephanie. I hated having to explain my decisions, especially when I wasn't quite sure why I made them either. The only thing I knew for sure was that I didn't want to go to a college just because everyone else was doing it. As in, maybe not at all. I don't know, I haven't decided yet.
"But don't you have to get a room and enroll in classes?"
I shrugged again. "I'm not worried about it right now." That wasn't exactly true, but it wasn't exactly a lie. I did worry about it, about the decision I had to make, about being behind the rest of my classmates when it came to knowing my future. But it was also true that, at the moment, my only real worry was that Mason had his tongue halfway down another girl's throat. Willow followed my gaze and shook her head, stealing a shot from her flask before grabbing my arm.
"Nuh-uh, not happening, Nat. You are not going to sit here and torture yourself all night. Let's go dance."
But before she had the chance to pull me away, Mason's girlfriend made her way toward us. She smiled at Stephanie first, eyeing her outfit.
"I love those boots. Where did you get them?"
Stephanie returned her smile, flattered and clearly unaware of my discomfort.
"The boot boutique in town. They have the best colors and styles. I'll have to take you sometime."
"I'd love that,"
she answered genuinely before turning her gaze to me. It soured immediately.
"You're Natalie, right?"
My throat was too dry to swallow, which meant I definitely couldn't answer, so I just nodded. Her smile was pinched at the corners.
"It's nice to meet you. I've heard a lot about you from Mason."
My heart backflipped at her words before sinking to the floor. She had heard about me from Mason? Was that a good or bad thing?
"I'm Shay," she finally said, but she didn't extend a hand for a shake. "Listen, I hope things won't be weird between us. I mean, being that Mason dumped you to date me and everything, we're young, right? These things happen."
She smiled wider now, happy with herself. This time I swallowed, feeling sick. Her eyes were on me along with Stephanie's, both of them waiting for a response. What was I supposed to say? Willow narrowed her eyes, tugging my arm again.
"Come on, you don't have to play this game with her."
She turned to Shay next.
"Maybe you should go back to your boyfriend."
Shay shrugged, linking her arm through Stephanie's to mirror Willow's through mine.
"You're probably right. Come on, Stephanie, is it? I want to hear more about this boot boutique."
Stephanie lit up, chatting animatedly as Shay pulled her back toward where Mason and Dustin were standing, oblivious to what had transpired at our end of the bar. Willow pulled me out to the large wooden dance floor before I had the chance to completely process, and we joined in on the line dance, finding a spot just in time to stomp twice and turn before it started from the top again.
"Don't let her get to you,"
Willow shouted over the song as we fell in line with the other dancers. I wouldn't say I was shy, but I was far from the attention-seeking type of girl, which was part of the reason I loved line dancing. There was something about moving to the music without having to stand out that pulled me in.
"Kind of hard not to, Lo. Did you see her?"
"Yeah, and she's nothing special, Nat."
Willow flipped her braid over her shoulder as we hit another turn. I inwardly frowned, noting the brunette's petite frame and large lady parts.
She wore jean shorts that looked like they had been purchased in the kids' section, and her smile was almost too perfect. If she was nothing special, then what the hell was I? "Who is she, anyway?" I asked as the song changed and we fell into the next dance.
"New girl. She's a junior, or, well, I guess a senior now. She's from Lee County, but just transferred here for her senior year. I guess her dad got a new job here."
"What?" I stopped abruptly, careful to avoid another dancer crashing into me when I halted. "Where?" Willow cringed.
"He's the new VP at the bank."
I smacked my palm against my forehead. "Of course. It only makes sense that my ex's new girlfriend moved to town because my dad hired hers. Awesome." I turned to leave the dance floor, clearly done dancing, but before I had a chance to register what had happened, I slammed into Colleen Masterson, knocking her straight down to the floor. "Oh my God, are you okay?" I leaned down quickly, Willow taking her other side as we helped lift her up. Colleen was a couple years older than us and was the smallest girl I knew. At just 5'1" and maybe 110 pounds, she was the perfect size to be the best flyer on the cheerleader squad that she had been all through school. Colleen nodded, leaning up as Willow and I helped steady her. She seemed shaken, and I felt like a complete oaf. Suddenly, a loud ring of laughter came from behind Willow. I looked up through the paused dancers that had gathered around us and saw Shay pointing over our direction. Everyone around her was laughing, save for Mason, who was making his way toward us with a concerned pinch between his brows. Dustin joined him, but not before throwing a disapproving look over his shoulder toward Shay. "Hey, are you all right?" Mason asked, not pointing the question toward Colleen, but me instead. I didn't answer because my focus was completely drawn to where Shay was making jokes. I couldn't hear what she was saying, but she was definitely staring at me, and Stephanie was laughing with her. I swallowed, heat rushing to my face as Willow turned to look behind her too, just in time to see Shay call me a fat klutz. And that time, I heard her. "I'm sorry, Colleen," I mumbled, standing as quickly as I could and bolting for the door. Willow chased after me, calling out my name and asking me to wait, but I didn't stop. Tears stung at the back of my eyes as I shoved through the crowd, using more force than necessary. I hated that I couldn't hold myself together. I didn't even cry when Mason broke up with me. Why the hell was I about to cry over something someone I didn't even care about said? Because he cares about her, that's why. How could Mason go from dating someone like me to dating someone like her? She was awful. He deserved better. He should want better. He should want me. Moses had Dale's Range Rover pulled up almost as soon as I sent him the text, and I slid into the back seat quickly, locking the door behind me like that would shield me from the cruel reality I had just faced. "Take me home, Moses," I said through the tears building. I tried to catch a deep breath, but came up short each time. My chest was too tight. My lungs weren't big enough. Moses didn't hesitate or ask a single question, just pushed the Rover into drive and tore out of the crawl like he felt the urgency, too. Moses used to be Dale's family's butler, but he transitioned into more of a family friend by the time Mom and I made our way into the Poxton tribe. He was in his 60s, though his bald head and tan skin made him look more like he was a biker in his late 40s. He had barely any wrinkles to speak of, which I swore I would find the secret behind. He eyed me curiously in the rearview mirror for just a moment before looking straight ahead again. I was waiting for the questions to come, but thankfully they didn't. My phone rang as soon as the light from the crawl faded behind us. Willow's name and striking smile lit up the screen, and I hit the red ignore button hastily before turning my phone off completely. I knew she wanted to help, but I was past the point of being pulled back by Willow's words of wisdom. Each mile we drove brought us closer to home and farther from the club, yet I still felt my heart ripping. I closed my eyes tight and saw their faces, heard their laughter, felt the embarrassment. I'd never been the butt of any of my friends' jokes, at least not that I knew of. Why was it that Mason's new girlfriend could make fun of me and get away with it so easily? Why didn't anyone stand up for me? Then again, could I really blame Shay for my embarrassment? It wasn't her who ate the way I did. It wasn't her who watched me put on more and more weight over the years. It wasn't her who knocked Colleen to the floor in the middle of a crowded bar. All of those things were my fault, and the saddest truth was that I wasn't even doing anything to change the way I looked or felt. Maybe it was time to start.
Like a strobe light of assault, little moments that I hadn't thought twice about struck me violently in the back seat of the Range Rover. I remembered covering myself at the beach while all of my friends laid out in two pieces. I remembered having to shop at a completely different store for my prom dress after the attendant told me and Willow that they didn't have anything above a size 9. I remembered having to order a large gown for graduation, even though they were already so flowy and loose. I remembered it all of a sudden, all at once, all in striking detail. It was the first time in my life that I realized I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. When we pulled up the long drive to Dale's house, my mind was still replaying the laughter I'd heard. Mason hadn't joined in on it, but he hadn't stopped it. Still, he asked me if I was okay, and that was all the hope I needed to think that maybe I did stand a chance of winning him back. But before I could think of going after him, I had to go after a better life for myself. "Thanks, Mo," I whispered quietly, my voice strained. He offered a soft smile and only nodded in return. Again, I was thankful that, somehow in this town, he'd lost the interest in finding out every detail of a bad situation. It wasn't even midnight yet when I stepped through the door into our massive foyer. I heard Mom and Dale talking in the kitchen, and I let my feet carry me there, without even thinking about what I would say. Dale was mid-bite, and Mom was laughing as they stood around the kitchen island, large bowls of ice cream in front of them, when I walked in. Dale dropped his spoon when he saw me, and Mom whipped around, cutting her laugh short. She immediately rushed to me when she saw my face, and I let her pull me into her. For a small woman, she had a fierce hug.
"Oh, baby, what happened?"
Dale asked, moving toward us. I pulled back from Mom's grip and shook my head, my eyes falling to the wood floor.
I think I changed my mind," I said softly, not sure if I was really on board with what I was about to say, or if I was just acting in the moment. Either way, the words were there.
"About the trainer." Mom looked back to Dale, who crossed his arms over his chest, a worried look on his face.
"Are you sure?"
I nodded, though my eyes stayed down. He sighed.
"Don't do this for some boy, Natalie."
"It's not for him. Not entirely, anyway." I cleared my throat, lifting my eyes to meet his. "I need this. For me." Mom pulled me in for another hug.
"Oh, sweetheart, it'll be okay. You're so strong. I know you can do this, and Mason will kick himself for ever letting you go."
I shrugged out from under her and pulled my arms over my chest to mimic Dale. It felt safer to stand like that.
"Can I start tomorrow?"
Mom smiled softly and nodded.
"I'll call the club first thing in the morning."
I felt the tears pricking my eyes again, but somehow managed to keep them in check. "Thanks, Mom. Dale, really." I shook my head, my eyes finding the floor again.
"I'm sorry."
Dale frowned.
"What on earth are you sorry for, baby?"
I shrugged. "I knocked down a girl tonight. I'm so big I..." A sob finally choked its way through my throat, and my hand flew to my mouth. I shook my head as they both moved to comfort me, the tears I'd been holding back breaking free.
I don't want to feel like this anymore.
Saying the words out loud finally made me realize how far I'd let myself go. No matter how I had played it off in the past, my size had always bothered me, just not enough for me to care to make a change. But that night was the breaking point. I knew the road ahead of me wouldn't be an easy one, but I didn't have a choice anymore. Mason had weakened me, and that night, his girlfriend had finished the job he had started, successfully breaking me into pieces. They were scattered on the floor around me, and I knew it was time to pick them up and start rebuilding. I hoped I'd build a better me, a stronger me, and definitely a smaller me.
Chapter 2. I walked into the Poxton Beach Country Club just after 2 in the afternoon the next day. The club sat on the west edge of town, a large, grand building right at the front of our one and only golf course. I'd only been to the club for Dale's parties and Sunday brunch before, and never once had I been curious enough to ask if there even was a gym, let alone ask to see it. As I followed a club associate through the large hallway toward the back of the building, I was regretting my word vomit to my parents. Yes, I had been upset. Yes, I wanted to start making changes. But was a trainer really the best way to do that?
When we walked through the large glass doors and I found myself standing in a room full of slim, ripped, beautiful people, I was sure I'd made a crazy decision in my haste. I definitely did not belong in that room.
"Your trainer is just finishing up with his last client," the older woman informed me. She tilted her head toward a small fitness room behind the row of treadmills. "Go ahead and walk back there. He should be done soon."
She paused, her smile still radiant. I guess she was maybe in her late 30s, and her PBCC polo shirt was perked up by a set of what I was sure were very fake assets. When I only smiled and nodded awkwardly, she turned to excuse herself, but not before adding, "And have fun. He's the best trainer in the place." She winked and I felt myself blush, though I wasn't exactly sure why. I made my way toward the small room the woman had referred to, crossing my arms over my body as I walked past the various members in their tight workout gear. I was dressed in yoga pants and a Paxton Beach High School t-shirt from homecoming 2 years ago, with my thick hair pulled into a high, messy bun. I looked frumpy and I knew it, but with my body, I didn't really know how to look otherwise. When I reached the glass windows that separated the private fitness room from the rest of the gym, I paused, watching the two people inside. There was a man knelt down on the ground, his muscular back showing through the ripped-up, wide-sleeved black tank top he wore. From that angle, I could see there was a woman on a spongy black mat in front of him. She was on all fours, but all I could see was her back right leg extending up toward the ceiling with a flexed foot as the man gently guided her knee. I watched the muscles in his arms flex as he moved, the ripples and ridges changing with each lift and fall. I had never seen muscles like that, not that close anyway. Just the partial view of his backside had me crossing my arms tighter and wishing I would have at least tried not to look like a bum. After another minute, the woman dropped her leg and sat back on her heels, giving the man a high five and a smile so big it made my cheeks hurt. Though when he stood and turned around, I completely understood why. Suddenly, it was hard to breathe. He threw a small white towel over his dark, damp hair, dragging it down his face slowly to wipe away the sweat he'd worked up. His arm muscles were even more defined from the front, his biceps tightening with every movement of his hand. As he pulled the towel down and around his neck, I noted his strong, tense jaw covered with just the smallest bit of scruff. His bright green eyes were lasered in on the woman, and he continued his slow assault with that damn white towel while she asked him questions. He was scowling, almost as if the towel had greatly offended him, or he was contemplating a world issue. And for some reason, that scowl had my body feeling a heat it had never felt before. My trainer was none other than Rhodes, Paxton Beach's closest thing to a bad boy. Other than the fact that he was a senior when I was a freshman and he was absolutely terrifying, I didn't really know much about him. I only had 1 year of roaming the same halls as him at PBHS, but that was all I needed to know that it was best to keep my distance. Rhodes was a mystery to most of the town, and the fact that he would be getting up close and personal with my body in a matter of minutes set me on edge. It was like a red danger sign lighting up over and over again as I watched him closely, that same fear I'd felt toward him in school creeping up. Still, my feet wouldn't move. When the woman gave one last wave and walked out the door to my right, I was still standing and staring like an idiot on the other side of the glass. Rhodes dragged the towel over his face once more before lifting his shirt, revealing a sliver of tan skin as he tucked one corner of the offending white fabric beneath the band of his shorts. It was then that his eyes found mine, and for the second time in 24 hours, I felt a small shift in my universe. Rhodes frowned, assessing me through the glass that was my only safety from the unfamiliar sensation I was currently experiencing. Slowly, he walked through the door and leaned against the frame, crossing his arms. "Natalie?" I was still standing a safe distance from him, my body angled toward the glass. I nodded before finally finding my voice. Yeah, I'm Natalie. Natalie Paxton." I extended my hand for his, but he just quirked a brow as he appraised it, before looking back at me again, jaw set. Suddenly I felt like an idiot, and I let my hand fall.
"I see. I'm Rhodes. I'll be your trainer. Come on,"
he said, moving from his leaning pose on the frame to stand straight.
"Let's get your numbers."
I tried not to analyze what that "I see" meant as I followed him back to a small office behind the section filled with weights. It was tiny, but elegant, like only a Paxton Beach office would be. There was one desk and a matching bookshelf that held mostly files. The desk was vacant except for a white, sleek computer and a green notepad, which Rhodes picked up as soon as we entered. He gestured to a large glass scale in the back corner near the bookshelf.
Step up.
I snapped my head toward him, but he was already scribbling away in the notepad, leaving my pleading eyes to fall on the scale in front of me. But that scale wasn't sympathetic. I swallowed, shifting. I knew it was part of the process. I knew that. Then again, what I hadn't known was that Rhodes would be my trainer. Cool, life. Cool. When I didn't move, Rhodes glanced up from his notepad and used the pen in his hand to point to the glass monster again. I sighed, shaking out my nerves the best that I could, and stepped up. I was far from excited about the number that popped up on the digital display in front of my face, and even more horrified when Rhodes proceeded to calculate my body fat percentage. When he wrapped a long blue measuring tape around my waist, hips, thighs, arms, legs, and neck, I was pretty sure my face could fry an egg. I was blushing so hard. When all the poking and prodding was done, he sat behind the desk and asked me to sit on the small, dark blue cushioned chair across from him.
"So, what's your goal?"
he asked, pulling out a new file to store my information. His arms were still slightly glazed with a sheen of sweat that I couldn't help but fixate on while I tried to think of the answer to his question. To get my boyfriend back, yeah. Suddenly that didn't sound so smooth. I fidgeted, unsure of what else to say. "I don't know. I suppose I'm here for the same reason everyone else is," I offered, hoping he would nod and continue on. But he didn't. He lifted his eyes to mine, the piercing green capturing my gaze as he studied me. After a moment, he sighed and leaned back, balancing the pad on his knee.
"Okay, who is he? Who's the guy?"
I blanched. "What?"
"The guy, the one you're trying to get or forget or whatever."
His voice was booming, but with an edgy rasp that somehow smoothed it out. I crossed my arms, defensive. "There's not a guy. Not that you need to know about, anyway. I'm here because I want to be." He shrugged, not fazed in the slightest by what I felt was a huge act of standing my ground.
"Fine. Then what's your goal?"
I chewed my bottom lip, working from the left side to the right and back again. It was a nervous habit I'd had my entire life, and I had to carry copious amounts of lip balm to make up for it. Rhodes' eyes fell to my lips, and I snapped my mouth shut. They stayed there for a moment longer before he found my gaze again. I had forgotten he asked me a question until he lifted his brow, waiting. What was my goal? "I just want to be pretty," I finally answered, my voice just above a whisper. I had let my eyes fall to the floor, just like I did with my parents the night before, and when I lifted them to meet his again, I slightly regretted it. His brows were pinched together over the bridge of his nose, and he shook his head before quietly scribbling in that damn notepad of his. I imagined he was writing something along the lines of, "No chance, never happening, poor girl."
"All right."
He stood and I followed, though I wasn't sure what we were doing just yet.
"Let's go do your first workout. It'll only be 20-minute toning session today, and then I'll have you do 20 minutes of cardio. This will be your easiest day. You're set up to train with me for 2 hours every day of the week except for Wednesdays and Saturdays. I'm working on your meal plan, and I should have that ready by tomorrow's session. Until then, I'll give you the name of a fitness app to download to your phone so you can start logging your meals. Log everything, even if it's bad. You have to be honest for this to work."
I was nodding feverishly, hanging on his every word.
"You'll weigh in once a week, and we'll take your measurements once every 3 weeks. Here."
He handed me a business card from a small stack behind the computer.
"My cell number is on here. You can call me anytime, day or night, if you have questions about what you're eating or anything else related to your training."
I took the card, startling a little when our hands touched. Then he was on the move.
"We'll start with legs. Do you know the proper way to do a squat?"
And I didn't. I didn't have the slightest clue how to properly execute a squat, a lunge, a calf raise, or anything else he showed me in that insane 20-minute session he put me through that day. But the way he looked at me, the strange way he appraised me when he thought I wouldn't notice, had me wondering if my attention should even be on my form at all. There had always been a mystery in Rhodes' eyes. I remembered that from when we went to school together. There was danger. There was ice. But that day, there was another element that I never expected to see. Curiosity. I just couldn't figure out why. I thought I knew what sore was, but I had no idea. Muscles I didn't even know existed were aching, making me groan every time I had to stand up, or sit down, or really move in any way at all. I'd only trained with Rhodes 3 days, but already I felt like I was dying a slow, muscle-torturing death. Even after having all of Wednesday off, I still couldn't walk, and worst of all, I had to leave for the gym in an hour. Might as well start drafting up my obituary. Waddling into the kitchen, I pulled the snack-sized pack of celery out of the fridge and grabbed the jar of fat-free peanut butter I'd bought to pair with it. It wasn't anything I really craved, but I was determined to stick to the meal plan Rhodes had designed for me. I even went shopping and meal prepped myself instead of letting our in-house chef, Christina, take care of it. Meal prepping was a new adventure for me, but Rhodes tried to make it easy and Christina helped when I asked. She had been cooking for me since I was in diapers, and I think she almost took offense to the fact that I wanted to do this on my own. Still, she supported me. I was going to be leaving for college at some point in the next year, well, maybe at least, and I wanted to be able to eat without her when the time came. I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but I had an entire summer off from school to focus on the habits I needed to make a lifestyle. That's how Rhodes explained it, a lifestyle. He kept telling me that I wasn't on a diet, and I wasn't on some get-skinny-quick fix either. His goal was to help me change my lifestyle, to teach me how to live my life in a healthier way. And even though I knew my main goal was to see the look on Mason and Shay's face when I looked amazing in a bathing suit at the senior send-off party, I was kind of intrigued by his bigger plan. After all, it wasn't all about Mason. It was about me. It was about my life and my future. As I bit into my fourth stick of celery, Dale walked into the kitchen. He lifted a brow when he noted my plate and I frowned. "Don't even go there, Dale." He threw his hands up and laughed a little. "I'm not saying a word. Who am I to judge you if you want to eat plants?" I stuck my tongue out and took another bite, the celery and peanut butter crunching between my teeth as he reached in the fridge for a beer. He popped it open and leaned back against the counter. Dale was tall, his hair jet black and his eyes almost the same color. When he stood next to my fair-skinned, blonde-headed mother, their differences were on full display. "In all seriousness, I'm really proud of you, Nat." "Thanks," I murmured, looking down at my plate. "I don't feel like I'm doing anything special yet. Nothing is changing." He chuckled. "It hasn't even been a week. Give it time." Taking a drag from his bottle, his smile faded and he assessed me more seriously. "You know you're beautiful, don't you, Natalie?" I rolled my eyes and thought about throwing a celery stick at him, but refrained. Before I could say anything, he set his bottle down on the counter and crossed his arms. "I mean it. You're a gorgeous girl. Mason is an idiot, and he should have realized that by now, regardless of the trainer." Dale was great at being a dad, even though he didn't have to be. Still, I could tell he wasn't any more comfortable handling my first breakup than I was. Dale and I were close, but we never really talked about girl stuff like that. I knew I was insecure. I knew I was dramatic. But Mom was always the one to help me through the high school insanity, not Dale. He watched me closely as I finished my last celery stick, not sure what to say back to him. "Well, I don't see it, I guess." He smiled again, making the tension melt a little. "Not yet, but you will." He grabbed his bottle and tilted it toward me in a cheers. "Have fun at the gym." I groaned, my muscles protesting at just the sound of the word. Dale chuckled and made his way back into the living room as I grabbed my water bottle and shoved it in my gym bag before heading out the door. It was a beautiful May afternoon, the sun blazing high in the sky with a gentle breeze rolling in from the east coast. I knew the beach must have been absolutely packed. Rolling down the windows in Dale's Range Rover, I tried to enjoy the weather and relax as I drove the short 15 minutes to the club. When I pulled up, Rhodes was waiting for me outside, his arms and ankles crossed as he leaned against one of the front pillars. He was wearing a dark pair of sunglasses, but still, his brows were furrowed over in a squint as he watched me exit the SUV. When I reached where he was leaning, he stood straight and uncrossed his arms, giving me full access to gaze at his chest muscles stretching out the tight fabric of his navy blue shirt. Thank God I was wearing sunglasses, too.
"We're working outside today. Did you bring a towel?"
I reached into the front pocket of my gym bag and pulled out the towel I'd packed, waving it around slightly like a white flag of surrender.
"Good," he assessed, walking back toward the building without checking to see if I was following. "You'll need it. Lose the shades."
I swallowed, but followed quickly behind him, removing my sunglasses and tucking them in my bag as he did the same. It was my fourth day with Rhodes, yet he still hadn't said more than a few words to me. I'd tried conversation a few times, but to no avail. He was cold, reserved, and not the least bit interested in becoming my friend. Not that I could really blame him. He was beautiful. Crazy? Maybe. Intimidating? Definitely. But beautiful nonetheless. And beautiful guys like him didn't befriend girls who look like me. Still, he was my trainer. My parents were paying him for his service. The least